Yo, what up, this is your girl V Henny Man. You already know the vibes. Welcome to the artistry where we talk shit about music, entertainment, and the everyday struggles. And you know how we do, man, we always have a dope guest in the building. We have your girl, she reps Staten Island. She's not only a hip-hop artist, but she's just a multi-artist. She's doing her thing. Make some noise for Abby Jasmine. I don't got a budget, so
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that's the new thing now, right? Yeah. Like, we get paid for that now to make like the sound effects and stuff like that.
Do they do that?
I think they're doing that on TikTok.
Really?
Yeah, like I forgot what it's called. It's called like what? MPC.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, where they're like...
They're like popcorn.
Candy too. Good. Candy good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop. Yeah, no, that shit scares the
that
fuck
shit
out
is
me.
Scary.
Yeah,
it definitely...
We're living in different times.
We definitely are. Listen, before we dive into anything, I want to say thank you for being here, taking
thank
the time.
You
let's definitely take a toast. You know... Your girl got some douce. Yes, that. Oh, I said it properly.
Henny with the douce.
I know, right? Like Henny. Yeah, you know what I'm
but no,
you
it's
know,
okay. It's okay.
You understand? Know but we
judging.
Got that brown water.
Uh huh.
I hear. We got some. Yeah. Let me know when to stop, because if not, I'm heavy handed. We got some chaser. Feel free to. All right. We don't have to like. You don't have to chug it.
Okay.
If you want to chug it, feel free. Because you know, the more you know, the more lit you get, the more you talk.
Yeah.
You understand? So,
okay.
You know, but definitely, I just want to say congratulations on everything you're accomplishing.
Thank you.
Super dope on everything you're working on. And this is to your future, to
right.
our future. Let's do this.
That's right.
I see ya. Let's do this. Shit. Woo. Got some hair in my chest. Yeah, this move. Definitely.
Yeah, just chasing the water.
You know, Abby, I didn't know you was from Staten.
Really?
No, I didn't. I learned that recently.
Really? Where'd you think I was from?
I don't know. I thought like Brooklyn or something.
Okay.
But I learned that you from Staten Island. And lately, they've been coming for me because I've been talking mad smack about Staten Island. Yeah.
But what have you been saying?
I just said that I felt like Staten Island should be a part of Jersey.
No.
I know. But, you know, but I will say Staten Island has a lot
have
of dope.
Have you been to Staten Island?
I have actually.
Like spent time in Staten Island?
I spent time over there. I took the ferry a few times.
Okay.
You know, I actually drove into Staten Island. So I will say I've worked with a lot of dope artists from Staten Island.
Okay.
So I will, you know, like I just like cutting ass, you know, like
yeah.
I'm from the Bronx.
No.
Same way they cut ass on us,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
It's like the tough, the older brother, you know, older sisters, you know.
You.
But yeah. I will say learning this, I want to know now.
Mm-hmm.
As a native Staten Island person, what are three things you love about Staten Island?
Oh,
let's do this.
Three things I love about Staten Island. Okay. Number one, I really love, when I drive home late at night, there's
okay.
always nobody on the road.
Okay.
Number two, I was just telling them this before. If you want to leave Staten Island, you get a discount on Easy Pass. Super fun. And number three, I would say it's just a little quieter,
okay.
you know, than the city. There's not a lot of hustle and bustle out there.
Okay.
You know? That's, yeah.
Okay.
Say.
I mean, okay.
It's
that's
cool.
cool. The Easy Pass, I could
really
see.
It's to do, though, you know?
So do you feel like as an artist from Staten Island, do you feel like it... It's like somewhat of a box in a sense.
Yeah, I would say that. I think also just with like how it is out there, like it's kind of small. There's two
okay.
sides. There's the North Shore, there's the South Shore, and the
okay.
South Shore is like kind of like, you know, like the whiter side. And then they got us all crammed into like the North Shore.
Right.
So like we all kind of know each other.
Okay.
And, like, it's cool. A lot of people don't leave though.
Right,
you know,
right.
I always tell my mom like, I feel like there's a curse on Staten Island because people just go there and they never leave. Like, they
I
just,
mean, you're still there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but I left and I came back. But still, it's the same thing.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Yeah. Like,
okay. It's, listen, I don't, I talk shit about it, but me experiencing it, it's not so bad, yeah. Right?
No, it's not terrible.
No, it's not. It's just, you know,
not
like
the best place to be, like, you know.
Yeah, but you know, I will say though, like learning that, I was like, oh shit, this whole time I thought she was from Brooklyn or something. Yes, then like, yeah. So when you left from where? Like,
I left Staten Island, and then first I moved to Harlem. I was okay. in Harlem for like maybe a year, year and a half.
Okay.
And then from there, I moved to Brooklyn. I was in Brooklyn for like 2 years.
Okay.
I loved it.
Okay.
I
yeah. Probably, yeah.
It's fun. Right. It's nice. There's always something to do. And I kind of got that same, not like, I kind of get that same vibe from Staten Island where I like the mix of two things. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I like being around hustle and bustle when I want to, but right. I also like that like quiet kind of suburban right. kind of feel, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. So what made you go back to Staten?
Well, I was in Jersey for a while, and I just didn't like Jersey.
Bro, I'm in Jersey.
I know.
And I don't like Jersey.
I was in Jersey City, though.
I was in Jersey City.
Yes.
Where I'm at now, I like, yo, I feel like I was in the Bronx or in Bronzeville. I was like.
Ghetto. It's ghetto. Jersey City.
I was, and they warned me, right, about going to Jersey at first. They were like, yo, it's, you know, it's rough over here. And I'm like, nah, I'm from the Bronx. Like, we.
It definitely is, though.
I was just like, oh my, you guys are ghetto. Like,
yeah, no, they're ghetto. Clutching my pearls ghetto. Like, I'm scared. Yeah. And I had, like, where I was living, too, like, they kind of catfished me on, I think it was, like, Street Easy that I found my apartment.
Okay.
They were, like, luxury building.
Oh, damn.
And then I went to see it. Like, my problem is I'm a terrible planner. So okay. when I got the apartment, I had to move out of my old apartment in Brooklyn like the next day.
Okay.
So I literally went, gave him the check, and I left, and I didn't really look around the neighborhood or anything. And then we show up with the U-Haul, and my boy goes, he goes, damn, this is the hood. And I'm like, you think so? And like, they made it seem like it was a luxury building. It was just a new building in the middle of the hood. So I guess,
damn.
I guess it's luxury to somebody, right? Well,
yeah. What's that saying? Somebody's old trash is they're like,
yeah.
I don't know if
one
I'm saying
one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Boom,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So you understand, but you know what though? We're here now, right?
Yep.
Definitely loved, like, again, like, I was telling you earlier how I met you in 2019. Mm-hmm. You know, so watching your growth has been dope, right? Because I get it. Like, in life, everything fluctuates. It's a roller coaster.
Yep.
You know, so learning that your parents are musically inclined, I learned a few things about you. And I was just like, yo, like, I definitely wanted to tap in and learn, like, knowing that your parents were musically inclined, do you feel like you was conditioned to be this artist?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I was always just in anything that was musical because
okay.
it was something like I grew up doing, you know, like playing piano. I played in church. I was in the jazz band at school,
right.
things like that. But my dad always told me like, this don't make no money. Like do something else.
Right. Okay.
Know? And I was always like, okay, so what am I gonna do? And then I thought about, I wanted to be a psychologist at one point.
Okay.
But now that I'm older, I'm glad I didn't pick that path.
Why?
Because I don't wanna deal with people's minds all day and like take their, like when you're like, shout out to the therapist that can actually do it.
Right,
and,
right.
Like, really have that like, oh, I wanna help people. But like, I got my own issues. I don't know if I'm trying to sit around and listen to somebody else's.
Gotcha.
That's just me, though.
No, especially, you know, I get, especially.
And sometimes it gets a little dark. You
it
know?
Does get dark.
Yeah.
It does. So obviously you didn't go that route. You said, so when did you start realizing? Because your father said that, you know, being this music artist doesn't pay.
Yeah.
And let's keep it a stack.
Yeah.
It's not easy being a music artist.
No.
So when did you start realizing like, oh shit, this is more than what it is? You know, as far as being this established artist?
I would say it wasn't even really my plan to be in the music industry.
Right.
Like, I was faced with, like, the ultimatum of, like, okay, if you want to live in our house, it's either, like, you go to school, figure out what you want to do, or go to the military, because my brother was in the military.
Okay.
Or get out.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm out.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be in the military, you know, like that wasn't my thing. And I guess the time that I really figured like, oh shit, this is like a real thing was probably when I sat down at my first meeting at Cinematic and they were like, you know, you give me a good vibe, like you give me an artist vibe, you know, and I didn't have any music out. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Fuck it. You know, like sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, you know, like especially when you're that young. Like I was like 18. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I didn't know who I wanted to be at that time. So, yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, you give me an artist vibe. And I was like, okay.
So wait, this whole time I thought when you got signed to Cinematic, I thought you had music already.
No.
Oh.
I didn't have anything. Like, I had maybe...
I know you was on Vine. Like, you know, social like media, was popular and stuff.
Yeah, so I was doing, like, a lot of social media stuff. And I had put out, like, little, like, bullshit tracks on SoundCloud. Like, just, like dumb shit, you know
what I'm saying?
Like, terrible quality. And then I was recording songs. I maybe had, like, 2 songs, like, on my phone. And I sent them. And he was like, all right, cool, come in for a meeting. And... yeah, and from there, like, I was in the studio more heavily and, you know, just learning that process of, like, I was literally trial and error learning as I go.
I can imagine.
From the start.
Right.
Like, from the time I dropped my first song, it was literally just learning as I go.
So when you went into this, were they working with you on artist development, or that's something you learned the hard way, in a sense?
I think... both. I was doing, as far as artist development goes, I was doing vocal lessons, things like that. But a lot of it was like them telling me, all right, you have a studio session. They would give me like blocks per week and I would just go into the studio and I'd just make whatever. And a lot of it was learning like who I like to work with, who really understands. And I went through a lot of engineers and stuff, but it was literally trial and error, like seeing what worked for me, seeing what didn't work.
Okay.
And like, you know, and I had a team that was kind of like guiding me in that sense, because when you're 18, you don't really have an idea of identity, right?
Right.
Like you're just kind of like, all right, well, this is who I am right now. So, you know. And I didn't understand branding. I didn't understand marketing. So, like, they kind of guided me in that sense. Okay. Of, like,
how long in your career was teaching you this?
Oh,
you was like, was it right there and then, or just did it take years?
It took a couple years because even I would say it took maybe I was with Cinematic for like what, 3 years?
Okay,
4 years. Jesus Christ. I would say around the third year, I was like. Around the third year, I think I started not to give a fuck about branding and marketing even more.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have a team that does that stuff.
Right.
And, like, my whole thing was I just want to make music.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And, like, I don't really care about that part, which, you know, sometimes I'm like, damn, I wish I would have listened in those meetings, you know, when it comes to, like, coming up with things. But, yeah, man, I get it now, but, like, it took a while.
Right,
like, it took maybe 3 years for me to finally, like, understand, like, okay, this is why branding is important. This is why this is important. This is why, like, everything is a moving puzzle, right? And everybody all plays their own roles, you know?
So let me ask you this. So because you came in fresh, bro. Like, you was really new.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like one of the biggest challenges with a lot of artists is learning their sound. Right? So when you came in this, did you know off the back what type of music you wanted to make? Like, at what given point you started learning this?
Okay, so yes and no.
Because I've heard your music and I got to hear the growth within each, like, project.
Yeah. I would say yes and no. As far as I always knew that I wanted to sing.
Okay.
Like, I always knew that was just something. My mom always loves to tell me, like, oh, you could sing, all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, like, I want to sing.
Okay.
Like, I was rapping on, like, Vine and stuff. So, like, they thought I was a rapper.
A rapper.
And then I started experimenting and like really and really singing more. And it kind of discouraged me a little bit from singing because they would always tell me, like, people at the label, like, oh, R&B is dead, R&B is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's just not something that can ever happen.
Right.
So I kind of just stuck to my own thing. And, like, it was around 2020 when we were, or maybe 2019, when we were doing my my first album, Who Cares, that I really, like, honed in. I got a team.
Okay.
Because a lot of it, I was just working with a bunch of different producers. It was around, like, 2019 that, like, okay, we really were, like, okay, I'm going to sit with, like, one person, two people,
right,
and, like, really just write.
Okay.
You know? And I think from there, that's when I was really, like, okay.
Okay.
This is where I want to take it. This is where I want to go next.
Gotcha. You know? No, and the reason why I'm asking all this, right, is because, again, like, so, again, you have your process, right? And you right now, you're independent.
Yeah.
You just dropped your first independent project. Ooh. Shout out to you, you know. And, you know, again, you had these meetings. They were like, pretty much in a sense of, like, it's, I don't know if it's molding you.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, just guiding you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, do you feel like because you had that guidance, was it easier where you at now to create this project and having that creative freedom? Was it easier for you or nah?
I'm going to say yes and no again, right? Because I loved having the freedom.
Okay.
But sometimes having too much freedom, you kind of get lost in the sauce a little bit. And
okay,
you're like, all right, I could do whatever the fuck I want, right? Mm. Like, I could go fucking make a country song. Or I could do this. I can look like this. I could dress like this, you know?
Right, right, right.
But it's kind of just like, bringing it back in and being like, all right, like, let's not go too far off the deep end. Like, let's still stay true to, like, what you've accomplished, what you've done.
Okay.
But sometimes it's kind of hard because the only person I can really bounce ideas off of is, like, my team. And it's like, four of us, you know?
Gotcha.
So, like, sometimes it's just, like, us just bouncing a bunch of different ideas. And
especially with the music, how it is.
Right.
And I agree with you when you mentioned, like, for me, R&B is not dead, but a lot has changed.
Yes.
You know, so I know you tap into different, you know, again, you're very versatile.
Yes.
You hear that all the fucking time. You're versatile with your music, you know.
Yeah.
So with the growth within yourself and the brand, do you feel like, or have you had any moments where you felt as if you ever self-sabotaged?
Yes. A lot.
So I want to know, all right, so what's the last? So then I want you to, like, if you can tell me, you know, like, a time of you feeling like, and what, you know, what was the experience?
Yeah.
The outcome.
I would definitely say one of my biggest, like, fumbling moments or self-sabotaging moments was being with a label and kind of getting complacent in a place where I'm like, okay, well, I don't got to worry about that. The label's going to handle that. I don't have to do this. The label's going to handle that, you know? And being independent really taught me, like, oh, you have to really, like, go outside and talk to people. Because, like, I didn't have to do that. You know? If I wanted a feature, like, you know, we throw money at them and you know, they get paid and they do it, right?
Okay.
But now, like, that first summer that I was, like, really independent, I was, like, damn, like,
so wait, how long you been independent?
About a year now.
So yeah, you gotta be outside. You know how they be like, we outside.
Yeah. I had to, and that's what I was doing. I would just wake up and I would just go to sessions. It didn't matter if it was my session or anybody else. Like, I would go to, like, just anybody who invited me to the studio, I would just show up.
Okay. But
I would literally just go.
Gotcha. So how does it go? How do you go about, because again, now that you're independent, how do you go about, I know you have your team, but how do you go about, like, knowing, like, what promoters to work with, especially promoters, because, you know, you have, you know, to get hired and stuff like that for, like, are you still in that place? Like,
well, a lot of times I do let my manager Vice handle a lot of that. He knows we've known each other for years. Okay. So he knows the type of things I'm interested in. He knows right. the types of things that I'm not interested in.
So what is it that you wouldn't be interested in?
That's a good question. What type of things am I not interested? Like, what? Tell me something that, like, would come your way and you'd be like, Abby doesn't want to do this. Well, that's number one.
Yeah, that non-paying show.
I thought that went without saying. But, yeah, like, definitely I feel like I'm past that.
Wait, you still get non-paying, like?
Sometimes, but it really depends on who it is.
Okay.
Because I have, like, I'm not against it. Like, if it's like, oh, we want you to, this is just an example, we want you to perform at, like, this basketball game.
Okay, okay.
But we can't pay you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go do that, you know? Like, if it's a look and it, like, helps, and I'll definitely do that.
You both need to win.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go to, like, wherever the fuck. Right. Like, I'm not going to go to Florida okay. for a free show, you know?
Okay, like, okay. What about Showcase?
I don't think I would do Showcase. I've done a lot of fucking showcases. I think I'm definitely just past, like, doing showcases because sometimes showcases are cool, but now I just kind of want to create, like, an experience for people that want to see me. And, right. like, that involves, like, a budget. And
okay.
that involves, like, you know, just different things that right. showcases don't necessarily...
I used to do showcases, so yeah. I get it.
And showcases for me, like, at first, like, I was like, okay, this is cool. And then it would be like 20 people on the bill, and then I would go on at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
But
yeah, so what's a misconception people have of you based on your, I guess I would say, your account or your elevation within yourself as an artist?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions about me is that, like, I have all of these, like, relationship problems, and I'm, like, this, like, fucked up, messed up girl that
okay.
can't keep a, yeah. And, like, I live a pretty, you know, like, I like to channel that energy.
Okay.
But I have a pretty decent romantic life. You
okay,
know?
Okay,
like,
okay.
Me and my boyfriend, we've been together for a long time.
Okay.
Like, but that's one of the biggest misconceptions is people, like, just, they're like, wow, this bitch is all over the place. She can't keep a man to save her life. I'm like, damn.
That's crazy. The perception of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But, you know, and it's like, it's, I guess, because also, like, the way they're, like, we live in a, I guess, in a, not that we live, but knowing that the music industry, it's very heavy with men, right? It's a male dominated industry. You understand? Yes. So, you know, they're seeing you, like you said, they're probably in the assumptions. A lot of people go by assumptions nowadays.
Yes.
Let's keep it a stack. Like, yes. It's wild.
Yes.
Like, you know, instead of just literally, like, calling you out on it, like, or, like, speaking to you, like, yo, like, what is, you know, they're assuming. So that's basically what it is. But also knowing that you have this artist and you're, like, in the public. I mean, you are this artist and you're really in the public.
Yeah.
So have you ever put your relationships out there like that? Like,
yes.
And so I know you noticed. I noticed that you're posting less, right? On okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's on purpose.
Okay.
It's just I spent so much of my teenage years on social media and, like, being like when I was in peak Vine, Twitter, those days, it was like everything I did, like, people were just on my dick. And, like, that it's cool, you know? Like, it didn't bother me at the time because, like, I'm a teenager and, like, I don't care about...
There was no fucks given.
Yeah, like, I don't care about what people... I still don't really care about what people have to say about me on the internet. But I think now I just appreciate privacy.
Mm.
And I appreciate people not speculating about my life, like, my personal life at least. Like... Nobody could tell me what I do on a day-to-day basis. Like, nobody can get on the internet and be like, this is what Abby does every single day. Like, because I just really appreciate my privacy, and I'd been in a space where people like were just on my dick about every single thing that I did, who I was dating, whether I broke up with that person, you know. And now I'm just like, I don't want to give the world that much,
right?
You know, just
I agree with you.
Not because I'm scared, but it's just people have a way of taking things that you love and like just super hyper analyzing them.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Like I look at some tweets about like Halle Bailey and like her boyfriend, and they're like, wow, this guy hates her. And like, we don't know what these people do on a date, you know? And I don't want people to look at my life and try to pick it apart based off social media videos.
Right. No, you know? You're right. I feel like when you put your life on social media, right, in the public, it's like you're prone to allow people in.
Yes.
And energy is transferable.
Absolutely.
Bro, it's crazy how energy is transferable. Yes. So I get it that why it's not that you're afraid of it, because I think I can actually I agree with you. I also feel like I'm on the same page with you. Is like you have to, you know, just the boundaries of letting people in. There's boundaries, and I think one of the hardest things people have is boundaries.
Yes.
So you, as this, you know, as this person who was so public. When did you start appreciating, I guess I would say, your mental health?
I would say,
or realizing how important it is.
I would say maybe like three years ago.
Okay.
That I really was like, you know, I want to keep the things that I love and like my, you know, just day to day, my mental health, like. In order to do that, you kind of have to detox from social media because it's a dark place.
It definitely is.
It can definitely get, like, really dark. Like,
what's the longest you detox from social media?
Oh, I think the longest I've done is maybe 2 months without, like, posting, really.
Okay.
This was, like, right before. But now I'll go, like, a week or two.
Okay.
Like, I'll scroll and stuff like that. But, like, sometimes I just go off the grid and I just don't post anything.
Okay.
Because sometimes there's also nothing to post. Like, what am I, like...
But you know how they say, with like, you got to be active?
Yes.
On social media to
make... That's the dumbest shit ever. That's Why? Just me, though.
Talk about it. Why?
Because, just because I'm not posting on my social media doesn't mean that moves aren't getting made. I'm not still getting shit done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that is so, it's such a wild take, like, when people are like, if you're not posting all the time, like, people will forget about you. I think sometimes if I don't post, people actually hit me up, like, you good? You straight? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, it makes people think about you more, because it's like, oh, where's that person been? Where's this person been? What are they up to, you know? And then you come back and everybody's like, oh, what's
okay.
up, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, I just don't feel like my posting on social media does not equate to productiveness.
Gotcha.
You know?
No, and I can definitely see that. I do agree with it. But, you know, unfortunately, I think this era is very narcissistic.
Yes.
So, you know, like, again, people want to see you, you know, outside in a sense. They want to see those photos. But then it's like, again, the internet is somewhat not real.
It's not real.
You know? So it's, yeah. So, you know, so. But
it's real if you're on the wrong side of it, for sure.
Have you been on the wrong side of it?
I mean, recently, I've been on the wrong side of it a bunch of times. But recently, I had a take on, like, peanut butter and jelly that the internet didn't like. And I've been on social media for a very long time, and I've never been dragged the way that I was dragged for my peanut butter and jelly.
Why?
They dragged me. Like, they dragged me for filth. And it was funny because it's something so fucking stupid that it's like, all right, like, I don't care. Y'all could drag me all day over this because I don't like peanut butter and jelly. Drag me. That's fine.
Wait, because of that?
Yeah, I said.
So wait, do you like? I mean, like, is it just peanut butter at all?
It's the sandwich as a whole. It's just something about it that does not sit right with my spirit.
Okay, I mean, teach his own.
Like, that's not a sandwich.
So what's a sandwich to you?
A sandwich is a combination of cheeses, meats, condiments, slapped between bread.
Okay.
Peanut butter and jelly is two condiments on bread. That's a sauce sandwich.
I'm done.
I'm so serious, too.
It's
a sauce sandwich. You're eating two sauces between bread.
That's peanut butter sauce? It's a spread.
It's a sauce spread.
She said it's a sauce.
But if I put two pieces of toast with butter together and I call that a sandwich, that's not a sandwich.
It's a butter sandwich or a butter roll, whatever.
Are y'all kidding me? It's fine. We don't have to share the same opinion.
Listen, we're not here to judge. You understand? Like, we're not here to judge. I'm not going to drag you for it.
No, they drag me for filth.
Really? For that?
Like, one guy was like, when I was broke, all we had to eat was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I was like, this has gone too far.
Did you take it down or no?
No.
All right.
Because I said what I said. And if I had the chance to do it over, I would still say it.
I mean, you're entitled to, you know, if it doesn't sit right with, you know, with your spirit, with your corazón.
Doesn't sit right with my soul.
I also
don't like jelly, so I'm kind of biased.
You said
I don't like jelly. I don't like any type of at all fruit any type spread now.
Okay, all right. I mean, I think this is Staten Island. This is why we talk shit about Staten Island, bro. This is why we talk shit about Staten Island. I tried, God, I really did.
Nah, I really did. Don't think jelly should be pureed and put on bread. That's just me, though.
So, what's your favorite color? Nah.
My favorite color. Okay. My favorite color is pink.
Okay.
Yeah, I just would rather eat fruit, like, in its regular form. I don't want you to mash it up and put it on bread and be like, this is a new concept. This is jelly on bread.
All right, so give me three things that you do not like that people are shocked about. Because now I'm intrigued.
Like, to eat or just pure? Okay, three things I don't like to eat. We're going to take jelly out of it.
And it's popular, I guess, for others.
Okay. I don't like banana flavored candies, banana juices. I don't like putting banana in. I think banana should just be eaten by itself.
Okay. All right. That's a popular thing. Like,
people drink banana juice and like they have banana Laffy Taffy.
I mean, I do smoothies, so banana smoothies. Yeah. You don't like banana smoothies? Like,
I don't think banana should be pureed either.
Okay. All right. So go ahead.
I don't like olives.
Damn, I find people who don't like olive weird.
Really?
Yeah, but damn. I'm Puerto Rican, bro. We put that shit in rice. And,
I know.
You know
I picked them
like,
on my rice.
All right.
And also, okay, so even olives, and I also say beans too. I don't really like beans. I just don't fuck with them. They just have a weird texture to me. They scare me. I'm Puerto Rican, so like, yeah.
Wait, what type of Puerto Rican are you, bro?
I'm a fake one because I don't like beans.
You definitely, all right.
They get very
you
mad
like
at
beans
me.
And olives.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that as like a slash beans slash olives because it's like the same thing to me.
No, it's not, but okay.
And the third thing I don't like is tomatoes, but it depends.
Oh, man.
It depends on what it is, right?
Okay, because you were just saying on a sandwich, but go ahead.
Okay, so I don't like tomatoes, like, as a whole. Like, they kind of, like...
Like, the... I know what you're talking about.
Because growing up, I went to school with this girl, and she would bring, like, different types of fruits all... Okay. I mean, not fruits. Vegetables, like, sliced up. And she would just eat them. And one time, like, she was eating, like, a tomato. But, like, an apple.
Okay.
And that just creeped me out for some reason. It just... Like I said, it doesn't sit right in here, you know?
So would you say you're judgy?
No, I don't think I'm judgy. I just think that there's a certain way things should be done, and eating a tomato like an apple is probably not one of them.
So I this is the reason why I say is, all right, so I love
do that?
I love tomato. I can actually do that.
I'm not gonna judge you for it. But I'm gonna be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm just gonna make a little mental note.
Have this bitch sit next to me.
She eats tomatoes like apples. No, but I like tomatoes in certain things, right?
Okay.
Like,
In your sandwich, right?
No.
Ah, no, this girl, bro.
No, I can't. I can't. I like tomatoes in like pastas, right?
Okay, yeah.
I could deal with that. I love pasta. Pasta's great. I like ketchup. Ketchup's cool. I wouldn't put ketchup between two slices of bread by itself and be like, this is a sandwich. But, you know.
We have rough moments, though.
Yeah, no.
Because I've done, like, the mayonnaise with. No, mayonnaise with bread.
Mayonnaise with bread?
Yeah.
But will you admit that that's not a sandwich?
No, that's not a sandwich. Okay, for me, that was just being broke.
So why? Understand? So if mayonnaise is a spread and it's. And if you put it between two slices of bread, it's not a sandwich. Why is a peanut butter and jelly a sandwich?
Because it's a fruit, right?
I got her. You're caught.
Did. You got her. You did. You did. No, I mean, listen, I'm not here. Again, I'm a big fan of peanut butter and jelly. But, you know, I get it. Not everybody.
To each his own.
Yeah, to each his own. I mean.
I'm not going to, like, look at you and be any differently. I mean,
you don't like tomatoes. So.
I like tomatoes in certain things.
Oh, yeah. Pasta.
Pasta.
I mean, that's inevitable.
I like the little baby tomatoes. Those are cute.
Okay, they're cute.
They're cute, cuddly. And shit, yes, like that. Very nice. Okay. Yeah.
But not in sandwiches.
Okay. I wouldn't like make a ham sandwich and put ketchup on it or like put a tomato on it.
Okay. All right then. I mean, so now, you know, you guys want to know what type of food she. Yeah. You picky with eating then, huh? I'm assuming.
I mean, I try not to be now because I'm a grown ass adult and I feel like it's a little childish to go out to restaurants and order chicken tenders. Sorry, aunt.
No.
Love you though. You're my boy.
That is a little childish.
You're my boy though. I fucks with you.
You ever had like somebody go to like you ever been to like a seafood restaurant and they order chicken tenders?
Yes.
Bro, he
that's
does
crazy.
That?
Aunt,
do we
go out to eat seafood, you get chicken nuggets?
Bro.
No, but aren't you like allergic to seafood though?
Wow.
Oh, see,
that's some childish shit.
I was trying to
shit.
Give him a pass.
You was. And if you from the Bronx, you embarrass me.
Nah, but Anna's picky, but I think he beats me in that department. But okay. I just try now to just really be like, just try new things.
Okay.
Like when it comes to food. So
okay.
I always say I'll try it once. If I don't like it, then that's it. But I'll try something once.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now let's get back into your music, right? So because I'm like. And right now, I'm like, you don't like peanut butter jelly. He don't like incense.
He like chicken nuggets.
Damn, bro.
Chicken nuggets is good, though.
Chicken nuggets is good. But when you go to a restaurant and you be like, yo, it'd be wild. I know a few people who do that. And I'd be like, bro, how old are you? Like, I had a waitress one time told somebody, was just like, is this, for, like, do we have a kid in the table? And we was like, nah, that's a whole grown adult right there. Ordering chicken tenders.
That's hilarious.
You know, like, but going back to, like, the your music, right, how you just dropped this project, right? So I know how you mentioned, like, you know, like, it's a gift and a curse in a sense, being independent.
Yeah.
With this project, what would you say took you out of your comfort zone when it come to creating your, like, the songs?
I don't really think anything took me out my comfort zone per se. I think it actually brought me into more of a comfort zone.
Okay.
Because it just brought me the opportunity to work with people, like people that I probably wouldn't have met if I was still signed to a label. Because like I said, you're really comfortable and they're
right.
Like, hey, I have this person to work with you. And I was just kind of going out and just meeting people, you know. And a lot of the project, I want to say half the project was done before I got out of my deal.
Okay.
And I kind of was just like, damn, now what do I do? You know? Like, do I just put these songs out because they're already done? Or do I just keep working? And, like, I didn't even go into this project with the intention of making an album.
Okay.
I kind of just was making music, and I had met an engineer in Long Island. His name is Jay. Shout out, Jay. And, like, we just clicked, like, okay, instantly the day that we met. And I was like, you know, like, we did, it. Yeah, we did, like, two songs, three songs in, like, a session. And I was like, I feel like now I have enough songs to, like, think about, you know, doing, okay, putting out an album. And, yeah.
Okay. So, I know, like you said, you was part of the, like, the, like, so you, how many tracks you had when you was, like, when you signed?
I had three. Okay. Four. I had four.
How many projects you have on your, how many songs you have on this project?
10.
Okay, so seven of the songs, yeah, with, like, you independently with the, with this engineer, yeah, correct? So,
well,
you know.
He did
independently.
Five of them.
Okay, five. Okay, what was, okay, so seven tracks independently then, right? So, you know, with growth comes change. So what have you noticed within your process of growth? What are some positive changes you notice within yourself making this project?
I noticed that I could do a lot more than I thought I could. Okay. Like, when it came to, like, writing music and really, like doing mixes. And I didn't mix the project, but I did sit in a lot of those sessions. Okay. And, like, physically, we went back and forth so many times. We went back and forth for, like, 5 or 6 months, maybe 4 months, like, just doing mixes and sending. I have, like, 10 different versions.
And before, you wasn't doing that.
No. Right. I would just kind of let people, like, all right, yeah, mix it. Yeah, do what you got to do. This is your job. My job is just to write the songs and sing them, you know?
So would you say out of all your projects, this project right now, you was more hands-on?
I was definitely way more hands-on, okay, yeah. But okay, it's kind of because you have to be, right? Like, there's, like, of course I have my team, but a lot of it rides on, like, me coming up with, like, concepts, me and my manager coming up with things, like, you know? But I left, like, a lot of, like, the, like, the administrative aspects, mm-hmm, to Vice, because, you know, we know each other very well, and it's just, that's just what works for us. Like, he brings things to me, I'll be like, nah, I don't want to do that, or yeah, that's fire, okay, you know? And it's okay, just us kind of bouncing ideas off one another.
That's dope. That's dope. Lastly, I want to know, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
The last time, boom, I did something for the first time, mm-hmm, anything?
Anything.
The last time I did something for the first time, I would say I went fishing.
Ooh.
I went fishing.
How was that experience?
It was weird.
Okay. Why?
Because there were no fish.
Wait,
we were just throwing.
Were you in Orchard Beach? No, let me stop.
No, we were in Florida. I went to go visit some family. And my cousins took me to the lake. They're real, like, country boys. So okay, they're like, you want to go fishing? And I'm like, sure.
Right.
You know? And, like, they taught me how to fish, and it's kind of, like, it's weird, though. Like,
Why was it weird?
Because you're just sitting there, and you kind of just have to wait for a fish to be, like, ow, to, like, bite, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, like, if the fish, and then there's no guarantee that you even catch the fish, because he could bite, and he could take the worm, and then he'd be like, all right, later.
But isn't that life in general?
Yeah.
And we're not even.
That's deep.
That is deep.
That was good. You should write a book.
I'm thinking about it.
You should.
I'm thinking about it.
I'm writing a book.
You're writing a book?
Yeah, I have a book.
You have a book, or you're writing a book?
I have a book that I'm writing.
How many pages are we looking at?
Right now, I have like, I have maybe like 15 pages.
Okay.
And I write it like every so often. I write it in different phases of my life. So it's called The Book. I don't have a name for it yet, okay, but right now I'm calling it The Book, and it's just like stories from my childhood, stories from like different places in my life.
Okay,
and like, yeah, I don't know if I'll let anybody read it, but I'm definitely.
I want to read it.
It's a lot of rambling because sometimes I'll just get drunk and write like and three pages
of
this book.
Moments. Don't they say that drunken? Wait, I know this. Drunken words are sober thought. Uh-huh. Come on, uh-huh. Oh, I gotta read this.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come out.
But okay, so it maybe. All right, 15 pages
right
now. The book.
The book.
So is this like a journal in a sense?
Yeah. But I kind of write it in a way where like I go back on my childhood.
Okay.
Things that like, cause you know, a journal I feel like is you're writing your like right now.
Right.
Like
right,
today,
right.
I went shopping, today I did this. Like I kind of just use it to reflect on like prime moments of my life that like at the time I didn't really understand, like in my childhood, and now that I'm an adult I realize that they affected me differently.
Can you give us a passage or something?
Like, shit, I mean I don't have the book on
but can
me.
You like think of something
I think
that you wrote?
I think one of the first pages I wrote, like I just started I think I started it like around like middle school, like
okay.
that era. Because I feel like middle school is the most formative years of your life, whether you think about it. Because when you're in middle school, like elementary school, okay, like whatever. But middle school is when you really start to kind of find yourself.
You really think so?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think you have like a...
I didn't fucking find myself.
No, like you kind of just start to see your interest as far as like in elementary school, I wasn't concerned about like, you know, what I looked like, what people thought of me. Like, I feel like in middle school, that's where you kind of like are like, okay, like, oh, does this person like me? Oh, does this person,
okay.
you know?
Okay.
High school is like a whole
different
ball.
That's a whole fucking monster right there.
Yeah, high school is a nasty place.
It really is. That's why I dropped out early.
I graduated early just so I could get the fuck out.
That's dope. You see the opposites, yeah?
Yeah,
but you know what?
I got the fuck out of there.
I'm proud of you with that.
My school was kindergarten through 12, and my mom put me in
there.
Was
it like Catholic school or like private school?
It was a private public school. So on record,
wait, what?
It's PS80.
Okay.
But to get into the school, they had a lottery, like literally picking numbers out of hat.
Okay.
And that determines who got to go to the school.
Okay. Isn't that like a charter, right? Is that like a charter?
We didn't have to wear uniforms, so I don't really consider
okay.
It's technically a public school.
That
though.
Was in Staten Island, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
And it was K-12, and my mom put me in there in kindergarten.
Okay, okay.
So around 11th grade, I was like...
So you pretty much grew, like... I mean, everybody is the same people.
Same people, yeah.
Shit.
A lot of us didn't leave. Like, some people left, of
course.
Right. I was just telling my mom the other day, I wish you let me go to a different high school and get a different experience.
That's a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
And she was like, listen, you was meant to be in that school. You got picked from kindergarten, so I don't know what to tell you, but, you know.
But that, okay, so the book.
The book.
I mean.
The book
I
that think, might never come out.
I don't know. Let's see.
I'll send you a copy and let you read it.
I would love to. This would be, we should do a live, right, with peanut butter and jelly and fucking read the book.
you know? You'll be eating the peanut butter and jelly.
with extra olives.
I'm going to peanut butter and jelly with olives.
That's wild, but I just want to be exaggerating right now. You understand?
With a tomato on the side, right?
A tomato on the side, and we got to eat it as a whole. Mm-hmm. Right. Boom. That's
the worst picnic ever. It's a terrible picnic.
I mean, yes, that like, you know, that's just, you know, like we just living life.
Yeah, no, I respect it. I love that for you.
I know, I'm for us, because it's gonna be live, and you gotta all right, before we end this, you never had peanut butter and jelly?
Of course I've had a peanut butter and jelly.
I just want to make sure you didn't judge something before having it. You understand?
I've had
peanut
butter and jelly in different ways. I've had the Uncrustables. Those are nasty. I've had like the school lunch peanut butter and jellies with the thick ass peanut butter. I've even made my own peanut butter and jelly.
And nothing. All right, cool.
It just don't bust for me.
That's cool. But I mean, it's all right.
It's the type of jelly. Like maybe.
Let's get another shot before we fucking. You tell everybody.
She said, let's
just
do
it. Nah, we
she
not.
Don't
you know,
like peanut butter
I'm
and jelly.
That shit. I mean, peanut butter. You know what it is, yo? Again, like, you know, when you broke that shit, you know, I get it though. You know, like
no,
me
I
personally,
that.
I grew up to corned beef.
Corn beef? Okay, I fucks with corn beef.
I can't eat corn beef right now.
Really?
I ate it so much. I feel like my mother made that shit so much that even seeing it, I'm like, ugh.
I like corn beef. I like Vienna sausages. You ever had a, like, straight out the can.
Absolutely. Come on, man. We broke here.
That's what I'm saying.
You ever done it, like, mashed it up at a sandwich?
No. Bro, it was cheap. That's kind of fire. That sounds fire. See, that's something I'd be interested in.
All right, so then we could do Vienna sausages.
Mashed up.
Mashed up.
Little mustard. I fucks with mustard.
Mustard's good.
I like mustard. That was a recent development of my trying new things. I had some mustard.
Okay.
And it wasn't like...
What kind of mustard, though?
This is the real key to the whole conversation.
Go ahead.
It's not yellow, regular French's mustard. It can't
yeah,
be.
That's
trifling. That's we don't fuck with that. Dijon.
Yes.
Honey Dijon.
Yes.
Grey Poupon. Honey
Grey
mustard.
Grey Poupon is banging, especially
Grey
on a sandwich.
Grey Poupon changed my life, and I'll never view a sandwich.
That shit hit my corazón.
I know that's right.
So we're going to do...
Grey Poupon.
Grey Poupon with fucking Vienna sausage on a...
Mashed up. Maybe we fry them so they get a nice crust on the outside.
And the cheese so it can melt.
Yeah,
boom.
Like a patty.
Read the book.
And then we're going to read my book.
We should do... I'm dead ass. You should. I think you should.
I think I should?
I think you should.
All right. I'm going to finish
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, like, what do I know?
Because a bitch like me, oh, you ain't shit, but yeah, I'm just saying. Nah. But listen, this tells to this right now. Before we give you handles and all that shit... She got me lit, bro.
I have that energy.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do. You know what's crazy? Because before, I was a little skeptic. I was like, yo, I wonder if she was good sitting down, like having the, you know, you definitely, you know, good interaction. Everything. Yeah, I appreciate that. I definitely do.
Yeah.
So for those that are watching, where can they find you, find your new project? And all that good stuff.
Okay, y'all can find me everywhere. I made it real easy for y'all. Abby Jasmine everywhere. Except on TikTok. I think I'm Abby Jasmine XO. I don't know why I added the XO at the end, but whatever. We're here now. You can find my album, Growing Pains, on all streaming platforms. All my music, all streaming platforms. And, yeah.
And... Yeah, I already know the vibes, man. There's no reason why you should be following her. All her information will be in the description box below. You understand? All you got to do is click on it. You understand? That's all. But it's your girl, V. Henny, The Artistry Show, and we out. Rock out with your cocks out. Jam out with your clam out. Bow.